Scott with SJ, wildfire.com. Hey, I'm pleased to announce Pastor Larry. We've talked a little bit about Pastor Larry and his Bible study. He's been studying Ephesians 6 for the last 3 to 4 years. He's been diving deep into spiritual warfare. And what was interesting is during his study over the last 3-4 years, he actually had a demonic encounter that he had to rebuke in the name of Jesus Christ. And this is a man's man. Pastor Larry fought 2 years in Vietnam with the Marines, saw a bunch of action. Then he became a pastor. From there, later in life, he ended up becoming a school teacher. Very hardworking man, owned his own paint company, multiple blue-collar, white-collar jobs. The man has life experiences. He's a cool dude, man's man, fun to be around, and he loves the Lord.
Good day, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I hope this podcast will find you rejoicing in the Lord, being successful in your battle against the spiritual forces of darkness of this world, and that you're having a blessed day. And like I've said before, I'll say again, if you have any questions, please email Scott, and I will try to get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you. It says in Matthew, "Blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And brothers and sisters, we've been talking about the spiritual mind and about pursuing God. Are you pursuing God? Or are you have other interests? Are you pursuing your own desires? Are you pursuing God as your number one goal? You want to be happy? You want to be blessed? Are you hungering? See the intensity in that statement? Are we hungering and thirsting after God's righteousness? You know, the Lord Jesus promises if we do that, we shall be filled. So, how's your spiritual mind, brothers and sisters? Is God your number one desire in your life? Remember what Jesus said in Mark 12:30. He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart." Notice he didn't say part, but 4 times he'll say, "With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." There's that word again. "And with all your strength." So, brothers and sisters, we're embarking on holy ground that I feel. So I'm going to take off my shoes here. We're embarking on holy ground when we get to Ephesians 1, because Paul's going to talk about something I only feel like I'm blessed to talk about. I feel humbled. I feel small. I'm going to try to talk about God himself and what he is, marvelous work that he has done for me, that he has done for you. So it humbles me, and I talk about these things about God, and some of them are hard to understand. And I'm not here to explain the sovereignty of God. I'll do the best I can. I'm not going to clear up the mystery. Those have came before me centuries and centuries. They've been arguing points about God's sovereignty, but I think they've missed the point that God's sovereignty, the free will of man, and we go in there, as we're going to see, predestination, choosing, election. That's in Ephesians 1, but that's so important in our spiritual warfare. It's so important. And you don't hear very many teachers dealing with this as a prerequisite to putting on the armor of God, because what we think of God, it will determine how we live. If we have a small view of God, we'll have a small Christian life. So it's important that we have the correct concept, but explaining the concepts of God here is quite difficult, but I'm going to try and make it simple as I can. But I don't want to dwell on the argument. I want to dwell on the fact that it is part of our heritage of believers. It's what Paul calls in Ephesians 1:3, spiritual blessings. I want this to bless you. I want this to embolden you in your spiritual life, in your spiritual conflict with the evil one. So this is done to bless you, not to confuse you. First of all, I'm going to state I'm not a Calvinist, whatever that term means. I'm just one who believes in Scripture. Now, I try to settle these things in my mind according to Scripture. I know others can influence, and they do. But, so no, please, give me an email that you think I'm a Calvinist or whatever term you want to use. I'm just trying to bring to you what the Scriptures teach. I want the blessed life. I want a hunger, and I want a thirst after righteousness, God's righteousness. But it's an understanding of who He is and what He's done that brings blessing to my life. I want to set out on this journey. And I want you to set out on this journey to know this great God that we have. This great God who can take just an insignificant person in the whole scheme of the world, take this insignificant person and bless him. That to me is a comfort within itself. It'd probably be good for you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1 to open your Bibles there. In Ephesians chapter 1. So let's make a decision. And it's a command. It's the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God. And I hopefully, by the time we're done, you'll love Him even more. By the time we're done with Ephesians 1, and by the time we're done with this whole Bible study, that's my goal. Is to love God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Because, you know why? Because He's worthy. He's worthy of that. So Paul starts out in Ephesians chapter 1 in his letter that about our position. This Paul always does this in most of the letters, not all. He states doctrine to start with. He talks about what God has provided for us and who God is. Then Paul usually goes on in the later chapters, as he does in Ephesians in 4, 5, and 6, and he makes it practical. And we talked about one of those instances where Paul tells us now, since these things are so, live worthy of your calling. That's because it's based on who God is and what God has done. So he wants us to live worthy of our calling. He wants us to enter in. God wants us to enter into the blessedness of the spiritual life. Remember, we spent a whole series of messages on the spiritual realm, and we'll bring those up. I always do that. Forgive me. But I bring those terms up all the time, and I'll do that in future messages. You know, God has provided provisions for us. And I think back into the Marine Corps, what those provisions were for me as I joined the Marine Corps. They provided me meals. They provided me equipment to wear. I had the whole government behind me, which some of you think that's not too good now, and even back then sometimes we didn't either. But the fact is that we had the weight of the American military behind us as I went into the Marine Corps. We had their approval. We had their power behind us. So you as a believer, God has not left you hanging out in the breeze once you became a Christian. He has given you provisions. We're going to talk about those provisions. And they should bless you, not cause argument, but they should bless you. They're enough to take care of you. You must understand these. That's why I said this is holy ground. This is where God comes to meet us as believers. So please listen. Please apply this to your own heart. He's provided everything for us. He's provided Christ as a victory. You're going to see that in Ephesians 1. He's provided, he's already won the victory, the battle over Satan. Satan's just reacting. He's reacting. He's acting as a sniper now. One day he'll be put down. But he knows he's defeated by this victory of Jesus Christ on the cross. But he's still out there thinking he's still in charge and trying to take charge of you. But this is where you must understand God's provision for us. Paul begins by stating that he has authority as an apostle by the will of God. That's chapter 1 and verse 2. And here I am telling you to get your Bible open. I don't even have mine open. Let me find it here. Let's see. Ephesians 1. And verse 2, he says, Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's always the twins that Paul uses. Grace and peace. We need the grace and the peace in our life. They're twins. They always come together. I think I also spoke on this one time, the fact that if you don't experience the grace of God in your life, and you can't have the peace of God in your life. And how do we experience the grace in our life? That's by letting Jesus Christ come into our lives. That's by acknowledging our sin, repenting of our sin, and having Jesus Christ come into our life. And we'll look at that as we get into the first chapter. So it's grace and peace. We all want peace, don't we? Well, first of all, if you're a listener and you haven't done this, you have to make your peace with God, and then you can have the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And God's gracious enough to grant that to you if you come to him in repentance and ask of that. But Paul states, first of all, he says in verse 1, he's an apostle. So he's establishing authority, and he says it's by the will of God. So what he's saying is this, that God has given him the inspiration to say what he's about to say. Why? Because he's going to talk about God and what he's done for the human race, what he's done especially for the church, for you as a Christian. I think Paul gets so wrapped up in what he's saying here in chapter 1, he gets so emotionally involved that he makes it all one sentence. You know, in the Greek language, it says all one sentence. It goes through verse 14. For understanding's sake, the translators put in the commas and the periods. So, but it's all really one thought. Paul's just doing one thought here. So he's excited. He's like he's breaking out in praise to God for what he has done for us. And by what he's done, he's revealing who he is, a graceful and a merciful high God. So doesn't that bless you? This great God who didn't have to even care one iota about any of us decided he was going to do this. That he was going to reach down, in the person of Jesus Christ and give us eternal life. Didn't have to do it. I didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. We'd all gone our own way, could care less about God. But he did it because he's merciful and he's gracious. So, Paul starts by stating his authority that he is an apostle, and what he's saying is what God has granted him to say. He calls the Ephesian Christians saints. It says here in the King James, to God's saints, my translation reads as holy people, but that's what it means, is saints. Do you know that you're a saint if you're a believer? That word is very misunderstood. Saint is not some special person who's done some special things and he's canonized. Saints are all of people that, all Christians who have been called to the Lord Jesus Christ and given their life to him. I'm a saint. You're a saint. So, moving on. The faithful in Jesus Christ. You're called a follower of Christ. You're called faithful because you've enacted, God has given you faith to believe in him. We're going to discuss that too. That how do I have this faith? God gives it to you to believe because salvation's all in God. Now, I'm going to explain myself later on this. I'm going to reiterate that in order to take our stand against the wiles of the devil, as Ephesians chapter 6 talks about, we must be in Jesus Christ. Because it says here in verse 1, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Jesus Christ. These are Christians that Paul is writing to. He's not writing to the world. He's writing to Christians. I'm going to reiterate this. If you are not in Jesus Christ, my friends, you just tuned in because there's nothing else to do. If you are not in Jesus Christ, if you miss this, you will not fight the devil. You are an ally of his. You understand what I'm saying? You are an ally of Satan and his demons if you are not in Christ. You are walking according to the Satan's influence and his power, and you're slaves to it, and you cannot help yourself. Now, you might not think that, but that's what the scriptures teach. That's what Jesus taught. The world, who Satan dominates and has control of, directs your steps. You think you're your own man, but you are not. Satan holds you captive. Bible calls it, says you're a slave, as I was, as any believer will tell you. Jesus said in John's gospel, when debating with the religious leaders of his day, that they were of their father, the devil. Ooh, that's a statement to make, but that's what he said. Let me read it. Yeah. John 8:31. If you continue my word, then you are my disciples. Indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And Jesus also said that he is not for me, is against me. So, you must be in Christ. That is your place of refuge. Satan cannot harm you. He cannot control you if you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about next week of the sovereignty of God. Have a blessed week. I hope you tune in next week. Amen. Mm-hmm.